This is 1A. I'm Sarah McCammon in Washington, sitting in for Joshua Johnson. For weeks now, protests in Haiti have upended much of daily life on the island. They're the result of widespread frustration over scarcity, poverty, and corruption in the country. Haiti's president, Jovenel Moïse, has announced that the country is in a humanitarian crisis and that international help is needed to get through it. The Caribbean country also has suffered a series of natural disasters, including an earthquake in 2010 that killed more than 200,000 people by some counts. But Haitian DJ Michael Brun wants to show the world a different side of his native island. Brun's specialty is Haitian-infused electronic dance music, a.k.a. EDM, and he draws upon sounds from Latin America, the Caribbean, and West Africa. His most popular song, Positivo, with J Balvin, was chosen as the official World Cup song in 2018 and reflects the global sound Brun has strived to create. And he joins me now from NPR New York. Michael, welcome to 1A.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's great. Thanks for being here. So let's start at the beginning. How did you get your start in music?
So I started making music since I was a little kid. My dad actually had a band called Scandale in Haiti, and my mom played piano. So we always had a love of music in the house. Played piano, played guitar, violin, I sang. And around 15, I started DJing and producing. So it became really one of my passions.
And tell me about the music you heard growing up in Port-au-Prince.
I listened to so many different styles at home. My mom is Guyanese and my dad is Haitian. So the mixture of sounds that they heard, they actually met in Miami and went to college in Miami. So it was everything from 80s and 90s music to local Haitian genres like ra-ra music, which is like a parade style music for ceremonies and rituals, and then also compa music and everything in between. So it was really a diverse musical household that I'm very grateful for.
And I read that music wasn't initially your first career path. You wanted to be a pediatrician at first.
Yeah. So I actually always wanted to be a doctor since I was a little kid. And the main reason for that was my parents always instilled the values that we had a huge responsibility, that because we were given so much, we had opportunity to education and a good family and not having to worry about a home or food on a daily basis, that we were meant to give that back in any way possible to others that needed it. So I felt like being a doctor was my path in doing that. What I realized as I got more into the music career is that I was in college as a bio major and a pre-med on pre-med track in Davidson College. On a full scholarship. And I just saw that the music path gave me access to all those things I wanted to do as a doctor in terms of helping my community, but on a different scale. And I felt like as long as I had those same values in my approach to life, that I would be able to do the same work.
Now, I'm going to not assume that all of our listeners are familiar with either electronic dance music, EDM, or Haitian music. So tell me a little bit about what you love about each of those.
So I really love the fact as a producer that electronic music was made primarily by people in studios by themselves or on a laptop. And I think that as a listener, as I was listening to all these different genres from friends and families, family members and my parents and cousins, electronic music was the first genre that I really kind of found on my own. I found it online. I was looking through set lists of different DJs that were playing around the world, and I was looking through forums as well and just learning about production. And I spent so many hours on YouTube looking at production tutorials about how to actually use the software, and it really felt like my own. And when I was able to learn so much and then put that music out online and have people truly from around the world listen to it and support it, It was like something I didn't even know was really possible. And to think about everything that I'd heard in Haiti growing up and being able to merge the two, it felt like a way for me to share the things that I was listening to and that I loved with the rest of the world.
And I want to play a snippet of one of your songs. This one is called Gaia.
Yes.
Avancé. de citadella.
Kaya, kaya, kaya.
And that was the song Gaia by Michael Byrne, who I'm talking to right now. So break that down for me, Michael. What are we hearing there? What part of that is Haiti? What part of that is electronic dance music? Maybe something else.
So I also want to give a huge shout out to Lacoum Musique and Jay Perry, who are both also on that song. And who you're hearing there is Jonas from Lacoum Musique. And they're a really interesting group because they're made up of legendary musicians from Haiti, a bit older, and then very, very talented younger artists as well. And it was like a merge of the new and the old culturally. So I loved what they were doing as artists and felt that working together with them, we could find a way to incorporate their sounds that are more traditional with my sounds and create something that I could actually play out in one of my sets, but that they could also perform. So that this song is it was created as a carnival, a traditional carnival song, that the style is very fast-paced and tribal, but it has all these different elements of electronic music that kind of pop in and grow throughout the song. So it was most of this was actually recorded on cell phone as we were in the studio, and they were showing me what they had in mind, and so we voice noted these different sections and then built it together in Ableton on my computer. So it was really exciting making that song.
Yeah, and so what is a traditional carnival song?
So a traditional carnival song is generally about the state of the country that year. So whatever you're talking about in the song is going to be a reflection of the experiences politically, socially, economically, personally, throughout the year in a musical form. And it's generally very opinionated, but also tries to capture the mood and the feeling of the country at the time. So it was about taking that while also creating something that people go out in the streets in the hundreds of thousands, sometimes in the millions every year for carnival period, and dance to. And it's a form of therapy.
And Michael, as we alluded to a little while ago, there is a lot happening in Haiti right now. What is your take on the protests that are going on currently?
I think what's happening in Haiti seems to be happening around the world in many different countries. And the main thing that I'm seeing in common is that people are against corruption and people don't want to have difficulties that are basic human necessities, from food to living to education to opportunity. And in my career and what I do as an artist, I really believe that I have access to do a lot of things that many people back home don't have access to. And I'm representing the voices of anybody that can't speak right now. And so I try as much as I possibly can to create opportunity with what I do, whether that's through working in educational initiatives and social initiatives in Haiti and outside of Haiti, but also supporting other artists that are doing great work with causes that they really believe in. And the tour that I actually worked on this year and for the last few years, called Bayo, which means to give or give it to them in Creole, has been about taking artists from Haiti, bringing them to the States and these really amazing shows and venues, and presenting Haitian culture to the world, because we want to show people that we have something to offer despite everything that is kind of stacked against us as a people.
Right. And because of these events, a lot of the images we're seeing internationally from Haiti focus on things like fuel shortages, food shortages, government, corruption. Mm-hmm. What else do you want people to know about Haiti?
I would love for people to know the history of Haiti and know that Haiti's influence in the evolution and development of the Western Hemisphere is monumental and many times forgotten, whether it's musically through the creation of jazz in New Orleans and the merging of all these different sounds and diasporas from the Caribbean, West Africa, Latin America, and the United States via the slave trade, or whether it's in the revolutions of so many different Latin American, Central American, and Caribbean countries, and the fact that Haiti sent soldiers and sent support financially and in socially to be able to help with freedom for all these different people. I think the weight that Haiti has carried as a nation is oftentimes forgotten, and it's the country is over 200 years old. And so I think that the problems that we're facing now are really result of many different things that were stacked against us throughout time. But the people are resilient. They won't give up, and we're working to rebuild as best as we possibly can and represent the culture proudly.
We're speaking with Haitian DJ Michael Brun. His new album is called Locale. A lot of people aren't familiar with the sound of Haitian music, but Brun is trying to change that through Haitian-infused EDM, electronic dance music. He and J Balvin also co-wrote the 2018 official World Cup song, Positivo. Take a listen. Por eso hago lo que yo quiero y vivo la vida como lo soñé. Dime, dime, dime si soy yo. Dime, dime si te contagié. Lo que quiero, baby, tú y yo. Celebremos la vida como es. Dime, dime, dime si soy yo. Dime, dime si te contagié. Porque tú te me matas y es bajo que retumba. No quiero que se acabe esta rumba. Again, that's Positivo by Michael Brun and J Balvin. We've been talking with Michael Brun, and we'll hear more from him in just a moment. I'm Sarah McCammon, in for Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR. This is 1A. I'm Sarah McCammon. We're speaking with Haitian DJ Michael Brun about blending traditional Haitian sounds with contemporary electronic dance music. And we'd love to hear from you, too. If you're familiar with Michael Brun's music, what do you like about it? Or if maybe you're from Haiti, what do you think about his take on your country's native music? Comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. Or you can email us, 1A@WAMU.org. And Michael, for those of us who aren't familiar with Haitian music, can you talk more about some of the traditional Haitian genres that have inspired you?
Absolutely. One of my personal favorites is a genre called Rara music, which is R-A-R-A. It's the spiritual, tribal, traditional style of music from Haiti that is celebration. It's meant to symbolically just represents many different types of experiences, whether it's funerals to winning an event in like a soccer game or something. It could be anything in between, but the instrumentation, the actual sounds and the rhythms are ancient. They're a mixture of the West African rhythms that came to the Caribbean and to Haiti during the slave trade with the Taino native sounds and rhythms that existed. And it's a merging of the two. And so you have these really big drums and horns and the chanting and the sounds are so iconic when you hear it. And I actually used to listen to that every Sunday. There was a rah-rah band in our neighborhood that would come through and play. And it was one of my dad's favorite genres as well. So it just became something that I think I drew from musically very much. And I ended up working with that same rah-rah band that I grew up listening to as well on many, many songs, including Gaia, actually.
And you were talking earlier, Michael, about sort of discovering electronic dance music online. Obviously, Haitian music you grew up around, but EDM was something you sort of, you said, found on your own. And I'm always curious about how people sort of, the entry points for music, right? Sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's a loved one, sometimes it's something you just stumble upon. Mm-hmm. What was it for you that really grabbed you about EDM when you first found it on the internet?
So it was something that my friend Derek, in school when I was in Haiti, his older siblings went to college in Boston, and they would always bring back CDs of different styles of music at the time. And one of the CDs that they brought back was this compilation by Tiësto, who was one of the biggest DJs at the time. So when I saw that, I just kind of went into a search as much as I possibly could on the internet for more of that type of music. And that's when I got into house music, which was a different sector of the genre of EDM, which like encompasses so many different styles. And the style that really spoke to me had, it was the traditional house music. So it was house music that came from Chicago or from Detroit or from New York, and that was very soulful and jazz influenced. And I guess that it spoke to me so much because a lot of those genres were what my parents were listening to, but in the '60s or '70s, and as in disco or R&B, but not flipped into this danceable genre. So as I got into it, I just started seeing the similarities between the things that my parents were listening to and that I really loved listening to, but then the way that it was transformed by these producers online and where they would take it. And some of them were not even musically trained, so the decisions they would make in terms of production and in terms of songwriting were so unique and truly brilliant. To me, that just spoke so much to the creative process and wanting to create something that speaks specifically to you, right? That represents who you are as an artist. And I felt like I wanted to do exactly what these DJs were doing to these sampled songs, and tried to do sampling in my own way via Haitian music.
And it seems to me that, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but you're sort of doing something we all do, right? Which is take yourself and the person that you grew up being, the things you know that are familiar, and then going out into the world and finding other things that you discover and that you love and that may be different from those things, and finding a way to make those things connect. Is that part of this for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as an artist, my ultimate goal, above creating any specific song or having a specific type of show, is really to build bridges. Because I think that from the point when I was a little kid and I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to create bridges and create community in every single possible way throughout my life. And I found that music as a form of relaxation or as a form of therapy in Haiti is so powerful. It's one of the most prevalent cultural things in the country, and I think in the Caribbean as a whole. And I've noticed that it serves kind of the same purpose around the world as well. And so it really does create bridges. And I think as an artist, if I'm able to do that while also bringing attention to hopefully positive causes and empowering others, it will build bridges, and it's sort of like a remix on life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you use that word a lot, building bridges. Why is that so important to you?
The main thing that I've felt throughout my life is I was given so many opportunities by people who, out of the goodness of their heart, wanted to help me. Whether that was getting full scholarship at Davidson College to be able to study, or at Culver, where I went to school. I went to 2 years of military school in Indiana before I went to college. Or working together with different artists that I've met along the way, from J Balvin and Mr. Easy to Arcade Fire to so many different people that kind of supported me, extended their help, and wanted to help share my story. To have these kinds of people and these types of really disconnected, they're not Haitian, they didn't grow up knowing me in any way, but they really believed in what I was doing, and they allowed me to reach more people around the world. I think those bridges were built for me, and if I'm following the values and the goals that my parents really instilled in me as a child, it is to continue to pass that on to others, because it really did change my life.
And Michael, I think you said that at first you were actually kind of hesitant to try to fuse these sounds, Haitian sound, with the EDM music that you love. Why is that?
Yeah, I think as somebody who studies a lot, I try to read up on anything that I'm doing as much as I possibly can, and pay respect to the things that have come before, right? Because I feel like everything builds upon what's happened in the past. I want to do it justice, and I want to uphold the standards, and also build off of something with the knowledge of what came before. So when I was creating electronic music, a lot of what I was doing was my own production and my own process. So I wasn't really sampling too much. I was doing my own work and learning how to be a producer and how to be an artist. And when I felt after about 6 or 7 years of doing it that I had a good enough grasp in my production, that's when I felt, okay, I can start looking into how can I incorporate the Haitian sounds that already exist, because those sounds mean everything to Haiti and to our people. And to take that and transform it, you're really almost transforming history. And I wanted to uphold it and respect the historical significance of the music, but also take it in a direction where the people who created it would understand it and support it. Because I don't want to have a split between the past and the future. I think that they're informed by each other, and that's really what I wanted to have in my music as well. When you listen to it, you could feel that.
And your new album, Locale, is sort of a love letter to Haiti. I want to play a little bit of one of the songs from that album, Paysé Café.
En arrivant mwen sou potay, yon jandam arite mwen. Mes amis, zavanti la kaide m'arrive.
And that's the song Paysé Café from Michael Brun's new album, Locale. We've been talking with Michael Brun, a Haitian DJ and record producer. His new album, again, is Locale. Michael, thanks so much for being on 1A.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll continue in a moment after a quick heads up about tomorrow's program. The debutante ball, where young women make their grand entrance into society in white dresses and white gloves, started in Queen Elizabeth I's court. It was a way to present her ladies-in-waiting as ready for marriage. In some places, the tradition still exists to this day. Were you a debutante, or have you participated in a debutante ball in some other way? What did you find most memorable about the experience? Leave us a voicemail, 855-236-1A1A. And does a tradition that started with the purpose of marrying off young women still have a place in modern culture? Tell us your story, 855-236-1A1A, or send us an audio file with our app, 1A Vox Pop. We'll share some of your stories tomorrow on 1A.